Turn your Bibles today, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to just start with one verse today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Whether we like it or not, we are born into a battle. We are in a fight. We are in a war. And that war is for the souls of men. Amen? We have a real adversary. He's not playing games. He's out to kill. He's out to deceive. He's out to destroy. He is a thief. And his primary weapon is deception and lies. And so we can only resist him according to the understanding that we have of what is true or what is authentic. If we don't know what is true, then we have nothing to battle his lies with. You need to know what God says, or you have nothing to battle your adversary with. That's why we need to know the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And so, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Some of the ways he tries to deceive us is he tries to get us to doubt God's word, first of all. He uses lies to cause us to doubt who we are and our true identity in Christ. He uses lies to try to get us to, listen, to doubt God's goodness. He uses lies to try to get us to doubt God's goodness. There's many people that have been shipwrecked in their faith because they've gotten mad at God. They've gotten bitter with God. He uses lies in an attempt to get us to believe that what he says is true and that what God says is false. That God is not true to his word. That he doesn't keep his promises. Has anybody ever heard that voice before? So we're told to be sober and to be vigilant. You know, the devil is powerful and he is intelligent. Don't underestimate that. Make no mistake, he's smarter than we are. We cannot combat his intelligence with our intelligence. We need the mind of Christ. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord to direct us and to teach us his ways. He's no match for Jesus. And we don't have the strength in ourselves to oppose him. I've tried to do that before, have you?
Yep.
Maybe a little more willpower, a little more positive thinking. Have you ever been there where maybe you've heard a message about just being positive? Should we be positive? Yes. But what is our faith in? Our ability to be positive or God's ability? Amen. It's got to be in the power of God and not in self. In ourselves, we can do no good thing. We can really accomplish nothing of any eternal value. We must be led of the Holy Spirit. That word sober really means to abstain from wine. Now listen. It also means to be serious-minded, to take a realistic approach to life, and to be intelligent concerning the tricks of our adversary. We need to be sober. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. The word vigilant means to be prepared and ready to meet every attack of the devil. An army officer studies how to defeat the enemy. If he doesn't take his job seriously, it could mean certain defeat on the battlefield. I was in the army. Some of you have been in the military. And you understand that it is not something to toy with. You have to know your enemy. You have to know his tactics. You need to know what he has. You need to know what you have available to you, the resources that are available. You need to know how to defeat your enemy. And you cannot be sloppy about it. You cannot be nonchalant. You need to be diligent. And you need to be alert and vigilant. Amen? Because your adversary is out to get you. So if we don't get him, he's going to get us. Do you understand? In this battle, you cannot be passive. You cannot just sit on the sidelines and hope it's just going to go away. Hear me. If we don't defeat the adversary in our lives by the grace of God, by the ability of God, then he's going to defeat you. And some are already defeated because he has gagged you and he shut you down and he stuffed you in a corner and he's got you all bottled up in fear inside yourself. That's not God's plan. It's not God's will for his people. Jesus came to liberate us, amen, from guilt, shame, fear, condemnation. He came to empower us, to enable us, to equip us, to prepare us to destroy the works of the devil. We are to be about our Father's business, actually doing the opposite of what he's trying to do to us. He's trying to destroy you, but we have been given the authority by Jesus Christ, who has overcome, amen, the world, amen, to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And so we cannot sit in the middle somewhere and just hope that it's going to go away. You're going to have to rise up and you're going to have to deal with the devil. If you want to overcome the world, it's going to take effort on your part and my part. It's going to take faith. It's going to take trust in our weaponry. It's going to take trust in our armor. Knowing who we are. Knowing what God has made available to us in Christ to protect us and also to equip us to defeat every lie of the enemy. So primarily the devil works through lies because he knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The devil knows that. Too many times, folks, we're just living in defensive mode. Are you hearing me? God didn't save us so that we have to live in a defensive mode all the time, trying to hold ground. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Holding on to what you have. You made a little progress and now you're kind of like holding ground and it seems like you're just getting beat up. Well, God's plan is for you to deal with that devil and not tolerate any of his stuff. Take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over the adversary. Know who you are. Know that God has commissioned you through our Lord Jesus Christ, has he not? He has commissioned us to go in his name and to preach the gospel. Through the word of God, amen. We proclaim his kingdom. We declare his word and we reveal his glory in every place. If we want to see our loved ones saved, if we want to see our city saved, if we want to see our nation turned around, it's not going to happen because we sat around and had wishful thinking or we had positive thoughts. It's going to require the people of God to rise up in the authority that God has already given them and exercise that in the earth realm, invoking heaven's influence. Amen. God will back up his word. We don't have to tolerate the garbage that's going on if the church would repent, if the church would humble themselves and pray and seek his face, if the church would turn from their wicked ways, then God would hear from heaven. And forgive their sin. And heal their land. Do we want to see America great again? I'm sorry, but Donald Trump is not going to do it. It's going to have to be an intervention of the Almighty God. Amen? Because the people of God have come together to pray, to seek his face. And to call, hallelujah, heaven into the situation. You can call heaven into your own heart. You can call heaven into your family, into your own home. Amen. You don't have to tolerate the devil beating up on your kids and your family and them having nightmares and putting up with all kinds of, for lack of a better term, crap from the devil. We need to take the authority that we have in Jesus' name and say, no, devil, you are not welcome here. This house is the house of God. Amen. This house is dedicated as an altar to the Almighty God, and he shall dwell in this place. Amen. knowing who we are, and we are to take authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't think that it's just going to go away. None of us bargained for this. We were called out and we were brought into this place for such a time as this. Amen. We were called to this earth for such a time as this so that we could influence the environment that we live in, that we could be salt, that we could be light in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend light. The darkness cannot stand light. And the darkness cannot resist light. The devil is a poser. He poses in three primary ways in Scripture. We see him as what? An angel of light. We see him posing as a serpent. And as a roaring lion. So sometimes he comes like a snake. And you know as well as I that snakes are masters at stealth. They can blend into their environment. Sometimes they're really hard to see. You have to have a trained eye in order to see a snake in nature. These guys that go out snake hunting have a trained eye and they know what to look for. How many know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to have trained eyes? We need to have eyes salved by the Holy Spirit. We need to have what's called discernment. We need to have the light on so that we can see clearly that this is of God, but this is not. Amen. This is a snake that's impersonating God. And he wiggles his way in to our lives. And if we're not vigilant, if we're not prepared and ready to meet that attack, then he will take us out. That's why he said you need to be sober and vigilant, because your devil, that devil is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. Now, he can't just devour anybody. There's some people that he can't touch. Are you one of those people that the devil can't touch? We'll talk about this some more here. How about these cartoons that we're seeing today? Have you looked at the cartoons lately? Don't. But if you have children, you better be careful to watch out for what they're watching. Because that devil is like a snake. He's snaking his way in to your living room and into your children's minds. Through the demonic stuff right now is being presented through cute little characters. But it's not always cute little characters, folks. What's happening now is we've got things that used to be ugly and repulsive are being presented as something friendly and cute and fashionable. Thank you. And so we really need to be alert. We need to wake up and realize what's happening. You know, these cute little devils, cute little witches, Halloween, hey. Should a Christian celebrate a holiday that focuses on death? No. We're children of light. We have no business. I don't care if I offend anybody. We have no business celebrating something that speaks of death. There's no such thing as a cute devil. The devil is out to destroy. I remember my mom saying when we were kids, you know, I wanted to be the devil on Halloween. Boy, I turned out to be one too. But she remembers me wearing that little devil suit. And you know, God spoke to her in that moment and just caused her eyes to be open to that. And she, you know, she said, I always regretted allowing you to wear that devil suit. Good. You know, I was like, right on, Mom. Yeah. You know. Why? Because we're not representing the darkness. We represent the light. Sometimes the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He's attempting to deceive people in the spiritual realm. He calls good evil and evil good. He appears in a pretty package. I remember hearing a testimony of of a pastor who was speaking about the covens that are sending in these sexy little witches to seduce the pastors or the leadership of the churches. And it's happening. And some of them are falling for it. But they're deliberately, they're plants. They're sent there on a mission to try to bring down the leadership, to destroy the work of God. And so this stuff is happening, folks. It's a reality. It's the world we live in. We're in a war. He attempts to make something vile appear beautiful. Remember watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs when you're a kid, right? Some of you, and the red apple, it looks so beautiful in appearance, but it was poison. Isn't it interesting that even years ago, I don't know if it's happening anymore, but they were putting razor blades in apples. You remember that? And yeah, on Halloween, kids were going out and getting Mickey'd, you know, getting poisoned through something that was also given in the candy. This is a sick holiday, folks. We should not have anything to do with it. You know, I thought about, too, you ever look at the booze section? Those bottles are so beautiful. And I'm you're looking at a former boozer, man. I love to drink and get drunk, you know. I was not a social drinker. I was a drunk. But you look at those bottles and they look so appealing. And I'm probably going to offend somebody else today. I'm on a roll. I might as well keep going, right? But when you go by the casino and you look, you say everything looks so beautiful and lit up and all the colors and the bells and the whistles going off and people in there once in a while, you know, there's rejoicing, but most of the time there's weeping. Amen. Because people are being taken to the cleaners. The devil is a thief. And he uses covetousness to pull people into that get rich quick mentality. Come on. God told us to work. Amen. How about Casper the Friendly Ghost? I'm dating myself now, but I used to watch Casper the Friendly Ghost. How many know that? That is a recruitment tool for children to accept a spirit as something friendly. A demon can present himself as Casper even. I remember talking to a man a couple years back who was in a very abusive family. His dad used to beat him senseless. And he had no defense against this. And one day he said he went out and he crawled in the doghouse outside. And there was this little guy, he said, that showed up. Muscular. Said, I'm here to help you. And he accepted that demon in his life. And of course, the tables were eventually turned. At first, he thought he was his friend and he was helping him. But then eventually the tables were turned and he was being tormented by this spirit that was there to help him. I remember listening to this Jay-Z night over in Yelm, but before I was a Christian, I was inquiring into the New Age movement and dabbling in the occult world. And she was talking about Ramtha, the enlightened one, and how he appeared. Beautiful, beautiful being, 9 feet tall. Said, I'm here to help you through. An angel of light. Satan appears as an angel of light. You understand, folks, that people have had these encounters with angels and they haven't tested the spirits. They just thought because they appeared beautiful that they must be of God. Joseph Smith had some angelic visitors, amen, or the Mormon founder. And we can know that it was a fallen angel because of the doctrines, the teachings of this spirit that contradict the Word of God. Sometimes he appears as a roaring lion. He's bent on terrorizing God's people through persecution. That's what was happening here. He says, your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour or make prey of. That means to gulp down. He's not playing patty cake, amen. He's going for the jugular. He wants to take us out. And a lot of what's happening today, folks, is the spirit of fear is controlling populations of people. And even Christians are falling prey to the spirit of fear. The roaring lion. You see, he can only use deception. Role playing. Because he doesn't have authority over us. But he tries to present himself in such a way that we will believe that he actually does. If he can get us to believe that he is greater than God, then we'll worship him. If we believe, you know, that the devil somehow is really the one in charge, then we'll end up worshiping him. Oh, you may not go down to a satanic altar, but you'll yield to the pressure of your peers. You yield to what's popular and what comes out of Hollywood as what everybody should be doing and dressing like and acting like. Come on. Even too many Christians are following the patterns of this world. They look at Hollywood and say, I want to be like that, and I want to be like her, and I want to be like him. How about being like Jesus? Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. It also means to drown or to swallow up. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, we did a whole series on strongholds. And what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a place of safety. It is the word means fortified castle. So, the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of these fortified castles. What fortified castles? They are thought systems. They are ways of thinking, folks, that are in disagreement with what God says. There are areas where we are sympathetic towards sin. It becomes a stronghold. If we want to justify our lifestyle, justify our sin, the devil can camp out in your house. Because you have given him permission to move in. You've given him permission to establish a beachhead in your life because you are giving sympathy to the devil. Do you understand why Jesus said, you must repent? If you don't repent, you're going to perish. Why? Because if you don't turn from your wicked ways and you continue to follow in that direction, you're giving permission for the devil to come in and to destroy your life. God says, stop it. Turn away from it. Forsake your way and follow him. Be done with yourself. Be done with your way. Do you want to have victory in your life? You want to have victory in spiritual battle? Well, you're going to have to live pure. You're going to have to divorce the world. Amen? You're going to have to give yourself fully to Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he will dwell in a temple that has been cleansed. A heart that is repentant. A heart that is confessed. A heart that has come clean with God. A heart that is honest with God and said, God, I don't have it all together. I don't have what it takes, but I need your grace. And I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do so that my heart will be in right order with you because I want you to fill me with you. Yes. Amen. God's not going to dwell in an unclean temple. You want to be full of the Holy Spirit? You'll be full of God's power. You're going to have to listen to his voice. So it says here that we are casting down arguments in every high thing, verse 5, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If my thought is not in agreement with what God says, it's an illegal thought. If I want to say, well, I don't care what the book says, I kind of want to have my thought. I want to let my imagination go. I want to dwell on these things and think on those things. If you rebel against the Spirit of God, then again, you are opening the door to someone who hates you and is just waiting for you to give him permission. And so we say, well, it's only a little sin. It's only, there's big ones and little ones. Do you understand that all he needs is for you to give him an inch and he will take a mile? He's just like the salesman that they teach you, and I did it for a little while. They teach you to get your foot in the door. They'll crack the door, you know, and if you can, just get your foot in the door. And most people will just feel, well, I don't want to be rude, so maybe I just let him come in and give his speech. Are you hearing me? You can't give any place to the devil. You cannot play patty cake with evil. If you do, it will get you. All he needs is for you to crack the door and let him in a little bit. Why? Because once he gets in there, he establishes a fortified castle, a place of security, and then he starts bringing in the big guns. Are you hearing me? And your life becomes increasingly worse and more defiled. I want to be pure. I want to be holy, because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what are our weapons then? There's three primary weapons of warfare, and this is going to be a repeat. But for those of you who haven't heard this, number one is the Word of God. You might write this down. Number two, it's the blood of Jesus. And number three, it's the name of Jesus. It's the Word, the blood, and the name of Jesus. Amen? And the means of using these weapons are, number one, prayer. Two, praise. Three, preaching. And fourth, word of your testimony. When you stand up and you testify to the grace of God, come on, you're bringing that same grace into the now. What God did for you in the past, He can bring into the right now, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You are prophesying of what He did then, and it brings that same grace into the moment. And that's why sometimes when you hear the testimony of somebody that got victory in their life, you have hope. Why? Because it brings that hope to you. And you begin to say, well, if God did it for them, He can do it for me. And it defeats the enemy. So we implement the blood and the word in the name of the Lord through prayer, through praise. That's why praise is so important. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. We've got to open our mouths and we've got to give God praise. Come on. There's no such thing as a passive soldier. You're in a battle. Amen. It's fight or you die. This is a battle, and this battle will rage until the day that Jesus Christ comes. Amen? But the good news is that God is with us. God is for us. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He wants us to walk in His victory that He's already accomplished for us at the cross. Amen? He's already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is the overcomer. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. So we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So don't tolerate the devil and give no place to him. If you want God's blessing, you want to live free of the curse, listen to His voice. Resist him steadfast, verse 9, 1 Peter 5, 9, in the faith. Believe God, believe His Word, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now the devil knows that you and I are protected by the grace of God. Did you know that? God has given His angels charge concerning us. But God is a God of order. God has given us His Word. God has given us His Holy Spirit. God has, amen, enabled us. He's anointed us. And so, the devil is seeking for ways that he can cross that line into your life. You see, God does put a fence, if you will, or a hedge, a protection around His people. Does He not? And if you feel like that fence is being breached, then you need to ask the question, God, have I opened the door somewhere? Hear me. Now, there's two ways that the enemy can get through. The first one, are you ready for this? By God's permission. And if God allows him to get through, it's only to test, to prove, and to promote. To test you, to prove you, and to promote you. He uses the devil, amen, doesn't he? For our good. He's actually just a pawn. And the other way the enemy can get in is by our permission. Either God's permission or because I gave him permission, because I listened to his voice instead of the Lord. You understand? That's why we're being told here to be sober and to be vigilant. Don't let your guard down. Pay attention. You're in a war. God has given you armor. He's given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given you His name and the blood of His Son, Jesus. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But you're going to have to use what He's given you. You see, it's one thing to be a parade soldier that looks just right. Everything is polished. That uniform is just right. And being a combat soldier. You understand? We are in combat. We're not in garrison. We're in combat. And so we need to know how to armor up and know how to use our weapon effectively. And that is the Word of God. And the problem is that people don't know how to use their weapon because they don't even know they have one. And they don't know what it is. They don't know what God says. And so in the areas of our ignorance, in the areas where we don't have light, that's where darkness dwells. Once the Word of God comes in, the entrance of your Word brings light, then the darkness has to flee. And then when the enemy tries to come in, the light has illuminated our understanding and our perception. We say, no, that's a lie. That does not agree with what God says. I am going to live according to God's word, which is the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. The more that I learn and the more I learn of who I am and what God has promised me, the freer I become. That's why we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. Wayne's talking about most people have never read their Bible. They don't know what's in this book. So how can we know God and know His ways and know what... how to use the sword if we don't even know what it is. Now remember the devil's petition before Almighty God concerning his righteous servant Job. How many remember that? Let's look at it. Job chapter 1 verse 10. Satan said to God, have you not made a hedge around him, or a fence or protection? Around his household, around all that he has on every side, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Verse 11, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. In verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person, on his person. In other words, you can't take his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Do you understand? He came seeking permission. Job had no idea what was going on in the spirit realm, but God gave permission. Why? Because he was going to bless Job beyond where he'd ever been before through this. And so there was a permission granted for him to touch Job, but not to take his life. And of course, if we willingly yield to the devil, that's given him permission. Amen. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Listen, he who digs a pit for others will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who digs a pit for others will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall or fence or hedge will be bitten by a serpent. God has given us boundaries to protect us. Don't move the boundary stones. Don't establish your own righteous standards of what's right and wrong. Find out what God says about it. Amen? And if God says, this is the boundary, these are the boundaries that you are to function within. Don't step outside. Don't move the boundary stones. Amen? You get into trouble when you start tampering with the Word of God. We got too many people today that are tampering with the Word of God because they don't really like what it says. So either they ignore it or they try to twist it to fit their own lifestyle. That's called moving the boundary stones. And if you mess around and you break that hedge, folks, hear me, you'll get bit by the serpent. He's waiting for you to compromise. He's waiting for you to justify your lifestyle. When God says, this is the standard, and I say, well, I don't like that standard, I'm going to make this my standard. That's called being wise in your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Amen. What does God say? God's way works. How many have discovered that? I want to ask a question today. Can a Christian have curses put on them? Well, let me just try to answer this. You cannot be cursed as long as you're under God's protection. Why? Because God is greater than the devil. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, listen, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Do you understand that when Jesus died on the cross, every curse was canceled? Every curse was canceled. Are you in Christ today? The curse is canceled. The problem is that we don't have the revelation of what has been accomplished. We have not had the revelation of the truth concerning these things. People that go into foreign, I mean, I've been to India, I've been, you know, to places, Paul, you others have been in places where you've got witches and witch doctors trying to curse God's people, you know, putting their little fetishes out and their stinky things and, you know, trying to shut down meetings and stuff. Well, we've got authority and Jesus is backing us. Why? Because we're in the will of God. However, if the devil can't, as he tried to get Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, God says, you're not going to be able to curse what I have blessed. And so he couldn't touch Israel. Even though he was paying him a lot of money to curse Israel, every time he went and inquired of the Lord, said, you can't curse what I blessed. So what had happened is, the devil is slick. And he says, well, if I can't get Balaam to curse them, then we'll get God's people to compromise. And we'll have them marry pagan women with pagan gods. We'll seduce the men into sin. And then the door will be open for the curse. Hear me. Don't play with fire or you will be burnt. It's better not to know the way than know the way and turn from the holy commandment delivered. The devil is not playing. We're in a war. We cannot be playing patty cake with the enemy. We cannot compromise with the enemy. We have to be in this to win. Amen? We battle to win. We don't sit back and in defensive mode and constantly, you know, try to defend ourselves against evil. What we need to do is we need to conquer evil through the authority of Jesus Christ. And you conquer evil in your own personal life first. Does that mean that I don't sin? Are you trying to say that I don't sin? No, I don't say that, because we know that we do sin. And we have an advocate with the Father. But know this, that if we willingly choose to do what we know the Spirit of God is warning us not to do, God is not responsible. Are you hearing me? To protect you in that, because you have violated the law of the Spirit. And sometimes Father will protect you anyways. Aren't you glad? It's called grace. But other times, father's going to take his hand off and says, well, I need to teach my son or my daughter a lesson. They're not listening. And so they're going to have to taste of this. And hopefully they will learn that it does not pay to play with the devil. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Hallelujah. Teach us how to live free, Lord, in you. And to know who we are and to take that authority daily. And begin with me, begin with my life, begin with my family, begin with the environment, my workplace, wherever I find myself, Lord, knowing who we are, that we are ambassadors representing the kingdom of government of heaven on the earth. Father, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in every heart and every life here, your kingdom to come and will to be done in this church family, Lord, in our communities, in our schools, in our government. We pray the kingdom of heaven will come, hallelujah, that you'll establish your rule, you'll establish your reign in the hearts of your people, Lord God. And from there, Lord, we will displace the enemies. We will drive them out from before us in the authority of Jesus' name and by the word and by the blood. Jesus took the curse of sin on his body. So we who are in Christ are free from all curses and from the power of sin. But the condition of that is abiding in Christ. It's resisting temptation and obeying the Spirit of truth. Remember in John chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus heals the impotent man at the pool, right? Bethesda. He'd been there for many years. And Jesus shows up, and afterwards he finds this same guy in the temple in chapter 5 and verse 14 of John. And he said to him, see, you have been made well. What did he say? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You understand? This is what happens. Is people come under conviction. They run to God and they say, God, I'm sorry. Or maybe they got caught and they're sorry they got caught. And it's a false repentance. God, just get me out of this mess I got myself into. And you know, we come to the cosmic sugar daddy, gimme, 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 right? But we really don't want God. We just want God to bail us out. And so God in His mercy, He forgives, He cleanses, amen, He pardons. And then if we get up and we decide to go right back into the same hog pen again, well, God's not responsible. He gave us the option. Choose this day who you'll serve. But know this, there are consequences for your actions. Absolutely. There is a right to choose. There's a right to choose. You know, the world's talking about the women's right to choose. Absolutely. You can choose any way you want. But how many know there are consequences? Amen. There are consequences for the choices that we... In every area of our lives, God gave us a free will. Why? Because He wants us to love Him. He wants us to choose Him. You know, I know as well that we can't have a relationship that's legitimate, that's true, that's authentic, without agreement. You know, without respect, without honor, without care. That's the way God is towards us. He wants us to be a love relationship, not a do this or else. We're not under law, we're in grace. We choose to obey God because we love Him. Because we don't want to hurt Him. We don't want to do anything to grieve the Spirit of God. We want to honor the Lord in our lives. We want to bring pleasure to the ones that we love. So we want to bring pleasure to our Father. We want the Father to say, have you considered my servant Job? Boasting on a servant. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Because He does all of my good pleasure. Because He listens, He follows, He walks with me. He lives to honor me because He bears my name. One more scripture, 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God, that means born in Christ, does not habitually sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. Can the wicked one touch you? He keeps himself. The sense is that a believer defends himself by taking to him the whole armor of God, and especially the shield of faith, what? And the sword of the Spirit. This is our responsibility. And the wicked one doesn't touch him. Satan cannot overcome and devour him. Now, he can do this. He can tempt us. He can sift us. He can buffet us. Amen? And he can greatly afflict and even grieve us. But he cannot kill or overcome the child of God. That's why we give no place to the devil. We say no. We shut that door completely. We don't even crack the door. Flee from all appearance, if it even appears evil. Amen? If that program on television has anything in there that's not appropriate for a child of God, shut it off. Give no place. Don't let him get his foot in the door. You know, we're naturally no match for the devil. So we have to lean fully on God's grace to overcome the world, the flesh, and the sin nature. And that devil too. And again, I said this before, but if we're bothered by any kind of curses, we need to ask the question, Lord, where am I opening the door? Am I opening the door somewhere? Or maybe it's just a test. How often have we judged somebody that's going through a hard time and we said, well, it's because they've got sin in their life? Maybe not. You can be doing all the right things too and go through a very hard time, a hard season. But God will reward you richly for how you respond to his dealings. Why? Because what he's preparing for us is so far greater than our momentary light afflictions here in this world. Amen? God is preparing a church, a glorious church without spot or blemish. He's preparing a bride. He's making her beautiful. And she will be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin in that day. Amen? We have divorced ourselves from death and we're walking in life. We're being made beautiful. We are now in the dressing room of eternity. We're being prepared. Hallelujah. And so whatever we're facing, know that God is with you. God is for you. He's never against you. If you need to repent of some things, do it now. Amen. Kick that devil out. As soon as you repent of it, guess what? There's no more place for the devil. Then you can tell him to go. You can't tell him to go if you're in bed with him. But if you are honest before God and you have a repentant spirit, a repentant heart, then you can tell him to go. That's why often when we even pray for somebody for deliverance, we'll take them through a few stages of self-examination, one of them being unforgiveness. Do you understand that unforgiveness opens the door of opportunity for the tormentors to come in? Some people are tormented by demons because they have refused to forgive people that have hurt them. Yeah. Amen. So if we do it God's way, we'll prosper. Thank you, Jesus. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide beneath the shadow of the Almighty. That's the key. Abide in Him. Amen? Worship. Pray. Seek His face. Listen to His voice. If He says no, it's no. If He says yes, it's yes. And the devil will not be able to touch you. You'll keep yourself, amen, from trouble. Father God, thank you for your word today, and thank you for my family. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. We are here because we love you and because we want to serve you. We want to honor you. We want to surrender our lives to you, Jesus, once again. And say, Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me in the way that I should go. In Jesus' name.